Hallelujah, what a Savior. We can rejoice in that. I think we are rejoicing in that. It has been a good morning, and I'm grateful for that. I'd like to make one other comment. The last song we sang at the beginning of the services is one of my favorites, How I Praise Thee. And the first time I heard that song, I was like, you know, that needs to be a Christian's anthem. And we know how the national anthem is used at the beginning of events and so forth. And so this morning we sang our anthem at the beginning of the services. And I don't know, just a little tidbit, I guess. I appreciate the message in that song, you know, channels only, blessed master. Is that not how we find it? We are not high and mighty. We're simply channels through which God can perform his work here on earth. So I just deeply appreciate the message there. So I too want to greet you all in the name of Jesus. We come a little bit formal with that, maybe. But it is appropriate. We find in Colossians, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So it is only appropriate that we use that expression. And but it needs to be heartfelt, not just a form. And we can so easily slip into that formality. And I guess I find myself realizing that I am way too much tied up in formalities. And it is my desire to overcome and, you know, just let loose of that and let the Spirit orchestrate my life rather than the formal mold that I have taken on and so easily just function out of. So I wanted today to speak on prayer, and I feel like I am the one that needs this the most. And so I just ask that you recognize that I am definitely not speaking to you from a position of having attained or having my life in a better order than any of you do. But I guess the seed for this came one day. I don't recall exactly where I was, I guess. I think maybe it was here at church, thinking about, I don't know, just a comment that was made, possibly. I recalled that my parents, years ago, I mean, I don't know, maybe like 5 or 6 years old, I don't know that they formally instructed me, or just a matter of conversation, discussion. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it was my parents that instilled in me the thing that we pray to the Father. In the spirit through Jesus Christ. And I was like, you know, that has stuck with me all these years, and that is the way we see prayer, the form, I guess. Whatever. I'm not quite sure how to express that, but I was like, you know, that's what they taught me. Is that what the Bible actually teaches us as well? And so I, in my own way of studying, I searched that out, and that is what I found. It's by no means is this exhaustive, but I was encouraged with it, and I hope we might all be. So first of all, what is prayer? And I did not take this from the Bible, but, you know, just how do we see prayer, and what is its value or function? And what I found, well, first of all, it is an address to God in word or thought. So I like that. You know, our prayer is not necessarily in word, like an audible sound, or even a whispered word, but it can also be in thought. That too is a prayer, and an address to God. It is a petition or an intercession, or just an expression. And again, my mind goes back to when I was, I don't know, now more like a teenager. A minister once said that a prayer is a sincere expression of one's desire. So, you know, is our desire after godliness, or is it after selfishness? And, you know, if our desire is towards selfishness, you know, be careful what you pray for. Okay, also, prayer is a communication by humans with a sacred, holy God. Okay, just a communing with God. And this is not only speaking to God, praising and worshiping Him, it is also, you know, confessing our shortcomings, our sins. It is expressing our desires to Him, seeking forgiveness, and so forth. Listening to what He would have us do. Communication with God. Prayer is an open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. I like this one. Our prayer is an open admission that without Christ we can do nothing. We need Christ's help. And prayer is an expression of faith in God's power, fueled by desire for more of Him. So, might that be our desire, to have more and more the mind of Christ, to be more like Him, and then to serve Him in gladness. So, God invites us into a relationship with Him that is both personal and communal. He speaks to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Prayer is our response to God, who is already speaking, or better yet, revealing Himself to us. Therefore, prayer is not merely an exchange of words, but it engages the whole person in a relationship with God the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. So, these are not my words. I found these in an article, but it supports what my parents taught me. We pray to God the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. So, we pray to the Father. We address God in reverence and acknowledge Him for who He is, with expressions of love or with a mention of His attributes. And so, you know, how do we open in prayer? Dear God, dear Father, just various different ways that we express, but it is an expression of love in with which we address God. Loving Father, Father in Heaven is used a lot. Almighty God and Father, those are ways that we can express love to the Father as we open in prayer. And this took my mind to the prayer book that was present in my growing up years, and I myself used it early on in our marriage. There's a lot of it. It is, which we use the German, and I translated it just on my own for the purpose of this, but those prayers are very expressive in addressing God with love. And so some that I found, and I'll just share this to bring out that point, I guess. This is taken from throughout the prayer of, and several different ones that were written years and years ago. O Lord, Almighty God, Heavenly and Beloved Father. Another one, O Almighty God and Heavenly Father. O Merciful God, O Holy Father, our God and Creator. And then, I don't think that this last one is was taken from the beginning of the prayer, but within the prayer it said, O Lord, Almighty God, Thou Holy and Heavenly Father, who alone art eternal and omnipotent, who liveth and ruleth forever and ever. And I don't know, I just feel that we have, we've come away from being so expressive. And I have a desire to be more that way. And what I mentioned at the beginning, that, you know, the formal mindset that I have, I feel hinders that. And sometime this morning after services started, I was thinking about this, and it took my mind back to the day when Tom Roberts took me back to Arthur one day, and we stopped at my parents' home, and you know, I entered the house and we greeted each other, just hello, how are you, and you know, nothing, just common, you know. And on the way home, he brought that up. He said, don't you get along with your parents? I said, well, yes. Weren't you glad to see them? Well, yes, I was. And this was just so strange to him. He said, every time we would see one another, we would go, well, hi, how are you? As though we hadn't seen them for a week or more, you know. And just for what it's worth, you know, I myself, and I don't know, I've just become so inexpressive, I guess. And I wish I could overcome. So if you see me trying, please support me, okay? Because I really do think that we would do ourselves a favor, and we would do well. I think, you know, God loves us, and he chose us. He created us to worship him. So are we going to worship him, or are we just mundane in this life, you know? Okay, so if we turn to the Bible for confirmation of praying to the Father, there's many examples, but I just, because we let the clock rule in our lives to a certain extent, I just have a few. But in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So there's one example, one teaching of Jesus. These were Jesus' words. Pray to thy Father. And Jesus, of course, prayed to the Father. Why would he not have? And then in Acts, I think this was said to the Pharisees, maybe. I'm not quite sure. Acts 8, 22 and 23. Repent therefore of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. The reason I chose this verse is because, so if we go back to Matthew 6, this is, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. I take that as, you know, if you have a need and a desire or an inspiration or an urge to pray, and seems to me this would be referring to asking of God something that you need in your own life, or a desire to see come about, or whatever it may be. But it is an asking of God. And then in Acts, it is the thing of repenting of a wickedness. He says, pray God. Okay. So in all situations, we pray to the Father, whatever that might be. So we pray with the Holy Spirit, or in the Spirit, however we want to state that. As children of God, we are given of God's Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us as we live in faith, in the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His Spirit dwells within us, and knows not only our thoughts, but the intents of our hearts. His Spirit is given to strengthen us, guide and direct our lives, and to help us in our infirmities, to bear us up in the times when we feel weak. And even when we really don't know how to pray, or, you know, maybe there's just times when words fail us, and we need strengthening. We need comfort. The Spirit is there making intercession for us. And that is a wonderful thing. And so even when we do find words, the most meaningful prayer is when the Spirit leads our thoughts in expressing those words. And in that sense, we pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, verses 16 to 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, here it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So, no matter what the prayer, let us pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit move you, lead your thoughts, and express those thoughts. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So in what better position could we be than to to be led in prayer, to make our intercessions to God through the Spirit. I can't improve on this or elaborate, it seems like. But again, that he that searcheth the hearts, God himself, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I don't think there is a better place for us to be than right there, where the Spirit is making intercession for us. Okay, we pray through Jesus Christ. As we make our requests known to God through the power, direction, and utterance of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do so only because of the sacrifices of Jesus Christ through his suffering, death, and resurrection. As we realize this, our heart wells up in gratitude for this greatest of all gifts, the salvation that we are offered, the redemption, the justification, the acceptance of God into his kingdom. It is only appropriate that we acknowledge this in our prayers. Back to our formal mindset, generally we end our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ and various versions of that. And that is okay, but it does not need to come at the end. It may be at the beginning of the prayer as well, or, you know, let's just not be formal about it. But we can also acknowledge that that it is important. You know, we want to include it. We want to come to God in the Spirit through Jesus Christ, and we want to express that. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Just a verification that we do pray to God through Jesus Christ. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this catches both the thing of praying in the Spirit through Jesus Christ. The truth being Jesus Christ. And then also it points out the thing of worshiping the Father. And I think that, you know, our worship to the Father is also our prayers include worship to the Father. Not saying that there's not worship otherwise, but our prayers include worship in them. And here again, I myself could be much more expressive in that. So if we think of worship in our prayer, what is worship? And from the dictionary we find showing a regard with great respect, honor, or devotion. So we express in our prayer, we express to God respect, honor, and devotion to him. And to me that is, or can be, a recognition of his attributes and who he is, and more. So, what is about God that we desire or have a deep-seated need or an urge to worship Him? What is about God that we feel that need, that I don't know how to express that. I really struggled in searching for a word, but that connection with Him. Why? What is about Him that we want that we have a deep desire to connect with God and to worship Him? So I think I've got three questions concerning this. And the first one, is it the realization of who He is? Is that what draws us to Him? I think it very well may be. I think that is a part of it. And so who is God? Just various references or names that we find for God. And this mostly are just things that I thought of. I did not do a search other than in my mind, but Jehovah, the God of all gods, the Lord God of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things, I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, Everlasting Father, these are all names in referring to God the Father. If we, just that name does not affect us much necessarily, but if we think of God as the Creator of all things, recently I mentioned the greatness of God, the Creator of the tallest mountain. What is that? 29, almost 30,000 feet tall. And so what is the base of it, and what is the length of that mountain range? Just beyond our comprehension, the immensity of the mountain that God created. Okay, then we come down. The lowest mountain is less than 500 feet tall. And He created man. He created the worms. He created the grass, the germ, the seed, the microscopic organisms in the soil. So He's the Creator of all of that. And don't we stand in awe of Him and worship Him as the Creator? He's the beginning and the end. He was before time as we know time, and He will be after time as we know time today. He's the Everlasting Father. And we have the privilege and opportunity of being with Him in eternity. But if it weren't for Him, would eternity be? So all of that works together in drawing us to Him. Okay, the next question, are we drawn to Him because of what He is for us, what He provides for us? And we find a lot of this in Psalms. David was quite expressive in his writings. And we find expressed there most of my list here. So God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. He's our stronghold, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our God, our shield, our salvation, our chief shepherd, our Father. So if we need a refuge, we turn to God. If we need help in time of trouble, we turn to God. If we need a deliverer, we turn to God. If we need God, we turn to God in heaven, you know. He's our chief shepherd. He cares for us and provides for our needs. That draws us to him. And the third question, is it because of his superior attributes, qualities such as his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, his love, grace, mercy, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness? He's our source of joy, giver of life, source of comfort, the giver of all good gifts. And that's just a short list, okay? But I just find myself where I think a psalmist said, maybe it was Job, I am but a worm compared to the greatness of God. And if we see God in the light of all this, and just, I mean, I cannot comprehend all of that at one time. You know, but I am so grateful for God's love to us, the mercy that he shows to us, and his grace and his faithfulness. You know, he will not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. So I think the answer to the first question, like, what is it that we desire God, that draws us to him? I think the answer to that is all the above. Who he is, what he does for us, and the superior attributes of him. And this stirs in us a sense of worship. So as we praise and worship him in prayer and communicate with him, interceding, listening, or asking, a relationship develops or deepens depending on where we're going in life. We thirst for more and long to know him more and more, to be more and more like Christ, to think like Christ thought. The more we know him, the more truth we realize. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The more free we are, the more we rejoice in him and worship him. So, how do we come to know God? And this section is taken from a recorded sermon by Charles Stanley. So, again, this is just kind of stolen, borrowed, whatever. Not my words, and not exactly a result of my study. But so how do we come to know God? by trusting Jesus as our Savior is number one. Okay? And then by making Jesus Lord and Master of our life. I think his point here was that many people accept Jesus as their Savior. They claim Him as their Savior, and yet they don't really know God. They do not allow Him to be Lord and Master of their life, which, you know, that is why we need prayer. That is why we need devotion and a constant diet of reading His Word, just bearing with us at all times the awareness of God's desire for us, and our need of Him. Okay, so also we come to know God by finding out how He operates, by observing how He works in people's lives, by spending time with Him, by finding out what He thinks, by reading His Word. We come to know God by talking and listening to Him in prayer, by learning from His discipline. And just tiny excerpts from his sermon in which he presented this. Believing some things about God does not make you know God. Okay. We need to constantly, that may not be the exact right word, continuously. We need to continuously read in the Word, exercise ourselves in following His will, and so forth. Knowing God is the heart and core of being able to walk through all kinds of difficult and stressful situations. We are familiar with difficult and stressful situations. So knowing God is the heart and core of being able to get through those tough times. He tells us, God asks of us to be still and know that I am God, he says. That is all I have. So, I guess my greatest desire, or the desire that developed within me in preparing this, is the desire to be more free and less formal in my relationships, not only with God, but with those with whom I associate as well. So there's more that could be said on that, but I think I will leave it and open up for testimony at this time or prayer requests.